Today's gospel comes from the 14th chapter of Luke. Now large crowds were traveling with Jesus, and he turned and said to them, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife and children, brothers and sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. Whoever does not carry the cross and follow me cannot be my disciple. For which of you, intending to build a tower, does not first sit down and estimate the cost to see whether he has enough to complete it? Otherwise, when he has laid a foundation and is not able to finish, all who see it will begin to ridicule him, saying, 'This fellow began to build and was not able to finish.' Or what king going out to wage war against another king will not sit down first and consider whether he is able with 10,000 to oppose the one who comes against him with 20,000? If he cannot, then, while the other is still far away, he sends a delegation and asks for the terms of peace. So therefore, none of you can become my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions." This is the word of life. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Let's just get right back into the good old gospel reading. This is the word of life. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So, you know, it's the good old Trinity. Hate, carrying the cross, and give everything away. Who wants to talk about what? Because those are all, there's a lot going on here. And so I thought there's three ways that you can look at any text in the Bible. And there's more than three ways. I'm going to just say there's three ways. And the first way is, I'm going to call it the taking the Bible seriously and literally and trying to deal with contradictions, which is the Camino Chapel way. That's the church I grew up in. And in the church I grew up in on Camino Island, which I grew up on an island, I don't know if I mentioned that before, but I did. And so I went to Camino Chapel, and on the sign it said, "Bible-based, Christ-centered." Sounds good. So that's where I learned for my love of Scripture. That was the home that I grew up in. And we focused on Scripture a lot. You know, and the sermons were 45 minutes to an hour. This won't be one today. But Scripture was important. But text would come up that would be confusing, and especially for a younger person in middle school and high school trying to figure all this stuff out. What's Jesus about? How do I follow this person? So when texts like this would come up, you know, you'd read the text and it would say, like in verse 26, "Whoever comes to me and does not hate father and mother, wife or children, brother or sister, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple." So it's like, okay, Jesus, are you saying to hate? I don't know. But then another verse would come up, like 1 John 4:20, which says, "Whoever claims to love God yet hates a brother or sister is a liar. For whoever does not love their brother or sister whom they have seen cannot love God whom they have not seen." So here you have in 1 John, love your brother or sister. And here you have in Luke and Jesus saying, hate your brother and sister. So what's going on, Bible? And that's the struggle. That's the struggle if you take every word literally and try and understand it like, well, that's what this word means. That's the struggle throughout Scripture. You're gonna be caught up. You're gonna stumble. You're gonna freeze. Like, what do I do? What do I do? So that's one approach. It turns out for me, I've learned that approach only goes so far and doesn't answer questions. You know, is it love? Is it hate? Is it both? So that's one approach. Taking it seriously and struggling a lot, I believe, when you go with that approach. The second approach, I call it the Trump approach. And by Trump, I mean Pinochle. So, or other card games that have Trump cards. So like when you play Pinochle, you're trying to get as many tricks as you can, and then if you do a bid, and when you get the bid, you call the trump, which means that, let's say you call hearts. So that means whatever hearts you have, though, and if you have the ace of hearts, that's the most powerful card for that round. Anytime you put the ace of hearts, nothing, that's a trump card, nothing else can beat that. You know, so hearts are trump. This might also be called, because yesterday I was on Facebook. Once a month I go on Facebook, I spend an hour, I cry about five times, and I catch up with people, and I realize, oh, this is why people get sucked into Facebook. I'm out. But I saw, and this is maybe another way to think about it, I call this approach the displacement theory, or the belly flop approach. So on Facebook, I'm watching the belly flop, the national championship competition. Who's seen that one on Facebook? Anybody else? Oh, well, good, because you missed out. Well, no, you didn't. So there's these skinny guys, and they're going off the 10-meter board, and they're doing all kinds of flips and land on their bellies, and I'm thinking, you know, I've done some belly flops, and that's got to hurt from 10 meters. I mean, that's 30-plus feet. That's a big deal. But, of course, the last one to go is a huge dude with the biggest belly of everybody by far, by three times the amount. And it's just a straight up, woo, you know, the boosh and just kaboosh, you know, I'm clearly the winner. By far. Whoa, he was awesome. But how that applies to looking at Scripture is, so you have this pool of texts, let's say, or you're surrounded, and then this one particular text jumps out, boom, does that big belly flop, and you can't not look at it. It's like, oh, well, that's the answer to everything. That's the key to Scripture right there. And that's another way to think about Scripture that might be challenging. Well, I don't know if Jesus was really talking about hate, because he's really about love. You know, love God with your whole heart. That's right out of Deuteronomy. And Jesus says that in Luke, love your neighbor. In fact, my favorite parable is the Good Samaritan. You know, what's that about? Showing mercy. Isn't that what we should do? And so you have that text and you hone in on one of your favorites, and it displaces everything else, because you don't need to worry about everything else, because you have your good one that you like. Now, there's no shame in that. There's nothing wrong with that. If you all live with love God with all you have and love your neighbor as yourself, that's just challenging just to think about that every day of your life. So there's nothing wrong with that. But it displaces these other pieces of Scripture that we have that are equally valuable or important. And Luke put it there for a reason. He remembered Jesus saying this. Jesus said it for a reason. So that's why it's here. Whoever comes to me and does not hate father or mother, wife, children, brother or sisters, yes, and even life itself, cannot be my disciple. That is almost a direct quote from Deuteronomy. In fact, Jesus loves Deuteronomy, which was, he didn't have Paul, he didn't have the gospel of me when he was living. He had all of the Old Testament, our Hebrew scripture. That was his. That's what he relied upon. And this is right out of Deuteronomy 13. And Deuteronomy 13 basically says, if anyone entices you to move away from me, the one true God, and I don't care if it's your brother, your father, your mother, your own daughter, your own son, your wife, or your friend, kill them. Stone them. Don't let anything get in the way of your worship and love for me. That's Jesus quoting that. I mean, it's just that throughout Luke, throughout all the Gospels, Jesus is just quoting his scripture. And he might put a little spin on it differently, because he might add, like he did, and even life itself, he adds. If you don't focus purely on me, you can't be my disciple. You can't follow God. It's challenging, right? That's hard. Because, well, our family can be distracting from how we might have a relationship with God. Our friends can be distracting. Or, as he says here in verse 33, therefore none of you can be my disciple if you do not give up all your possessions. He says that in other places. This isn't the first time, you know. Is it wealth or is it God that you're going to follow? Give to Caesar the things that are Caesar. Give to God the things that are God. Be rich toward God. If you want to be my disciple, deny yourself. Take up your cross, like he says here and in other places in Luke. And give it all the way. And follow me. Because our possessions can get in the way. Maybe you didn't know that. Maybe you all are very rich toward God every day. Unlike me, I might not always be rich toward God. But at the end of the day, things get in the way. Whether it's family, whether it's friends, those relationships, the things that we have, that we own, or that may own us, the things that we do, maybe excessively, that own us. Jesus is saying what's real, you know. If you want a relationship with God, don't let anything get in the way. In the prayer that he offers in Luke, it's very similar to our Lord's Prayer. If you look at that, well, I mean, we know it, but our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Thank you, God. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done. It's all about you. I'm focusing on you. Give me what I need and forgive me as I do my best to forgive others. And don't lead me into temptation. Don't lead me into trial. He says that in other places too. If you're going to pray for something, just pray for that focus. That focus. When I was in Boy Scouts, you got to get merit badges. So I went to Mount Pilchuck one time to the summer camp. And I went for the sailing merit badge. Now, I don't remember all the terms, but I know there's tacking and jibbing. I don't know what that means. I don't remember what that means exactly, but basically one expert who I was going to call him earlier this week to ask him about all this. But the goal with sailing is, with a merit badge, is you start at the dock, and you have to be safe the whole time and, you know, explain everything and tie good knots. But then go out to that buoy, make a turn, come back. You know, the wind is there, the sailboat's there, you're there, good luck. Now, with sailing, you know, or with, if you've ever been kayaking or canoeing, that wind is a variable. And it can be a variable with a capital V because it can move, it can shift. You're never going to be precise, you know. And in that first, and you have to learn also that if you capsize, you have to figure out how to get that boat back up, which I didn't do. But, you know, I did all right. I made it back, and it was okay. Now, when you do sailing with a group of people, it gets more complicated. You have to be more careful because if you're in the middle of the boat and suddenly you're making a turn and this big boom that's this big hits you in the head like it did me, I can't stop that boom. The boom will knock me over. So sailing can be dangerous, like being a disciple. And maybe the challenge is, that's why we have this hymn, Lift High the Cross, today. Maybe the whole challenge is, and this is from my Baptist turned Lutheran friend, Dean, Pastor Dean. He said, maybe the challenge is it's just a big setup. Because what Jesus said is, you can't be the disciple Jesus wants you to be. You can't do it. Every day, you can try, and you can pray, and you can get there, and you can sail, and maybe do a pretty good job, and maybe get back to the dock. But chances are, during the day, you're going to be distracted. Something's going to pull you from that relationship with God. And trying to follow Jesus. It's going to be something. And for all of us, it's a different something. Or it may be the same something every day. Dang it. You know. Ugh. Ugh. And that's all of us. Something pulls us away. It's impossible. It's impossible to be the disciple that Jesus wants us to be. Because here's a couple things in case you're wondering, well, what does it mean? I mean, we just got to love, right? Well, here's a couple other things Jesus said, just as a reminder. This is just in Luke. But don't be afraid. Can you do that for the whole day? Hopefully. Don't worry. Those both he says a couple times. Your sins are forgiven. Do you live as a sinful, forgiven person? Follow me. Just follow me. Love your enemies. Be merciful. Don't judge. Be good soil. My family is the one who hears the word and does it. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Follow me. The kingdom starts now. Show mercy. Be rich toward God. Sell your possessions and give alms. Here's a little side mark, probably for all of us. If you have a lot will be required. That's probably the hardest one for us in the United States, living in this abundant, wonderful country of ours, to be able to hear that, Jesus saying, if you have a lot will be required. He says, repent and pray. So those are just some of the things. Are we able to do all those things? Are we able to do some of those things? Are you getting better? Maybe. You know, you have your good days and your bad days. It's a setup. We can't do it. And what my friend Dean says is, you can't be the disciple Jesus wants you to be, but Jesus is the disciple for you. This is the main buffet approach. Now, I like the main buffet, which is over by Regal Theater. Most of my family does not care for it as much as I do. And that's all right. That's all right. So the last time I was there on my own enjoying some delicious sushi. And I go to pay because I'm getting ready to go to the movie. And the person comes. And, you know, the server's there. The English is, you know, decent. But so she's like, I thought she said, well, you have to pay up front. And I said, oh, you know, don't pay any here. And she kept saying something. And eventually she said, you don't have to pay. Like what? Someone paid for you. Like, you know, like I don't have to pay. Yeah, someone paid for you. So I immediately get up. I'm looking for all of you to see if someone else that I know is. And oddly enough, everyone in there did not look like me. And I have no idea. I don't know. If it's one of you, thank you very much. That was awesome and a total surprise. And that's how it works with the main buffet approach. Peter and the disciples are in a boat and it's sinking. And they're sailors. And they're frightened and scared. And Jesus saves them. Jesus says to Peter, you will betray me. And he does. And he feels horrible. And then he says, feed my sheep. Because I'm using you. And I forgive you. I think Dean's right. You know, sometimes these texts, they're hard, but they're clear. They're clear. Only God. If you start with only God, the rest will fall in place. That's the blessing. It's the blessing in the Old Testament. Only God. Follow me, and it's all good. It's with Jesus. Follow me. Get rid of everything that gets in the way. Follow me, and it's all good. Let's get in this boat. Let's go. Let's do God's work. Follow me. If you got that thing that's holding you back, Just get rid of it. Get rid of it. Pray. Get rid of it. Follow me. That relationship, it'll sort itself out. You follow me, we'll figure out how to make it work. Follow me. Follow me. Follow me. That's the gospel. It's a singularity. It's the approach. Follow me. That's all you need. Just follow me. Follow me and we can fish for people. We can do amazing things. The kingdom of God. Amen.